back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am standing with the new gear here. We have such great appreciation, all of our sponsors, David Nolan, our friends at Maryland Office Interiors, MOI. I thought it meant for moi. I thought it was French, but no, it's Baltimore. It's MOI. They've given me the levitating desk, so I'm standing now. I almost look like I'm on ESPN, don't I, Dennis Colatsos? What do you think, man?
Even better. I think ESPN could take some lessons from you and your setup. You look great. You're standing. Love the background. Love the Baltimore Positive.
Once I get the green screen behind me, my hair will stop getting like white in between, but it's going to be fine. I'm working.
Good.
Improvements where we are. And look, man, I got to talk with you today because, I mean, Luke and I have been after this. The Phil Mickelson thing should inspire all of guys like our age, right? But it's been a rich sports week when you consider Orioles getting swept by the Nationals, Ravens getting ready for this journey we're about to go on, which is our favorite thing, which is why I got some purple behind me here, as Lamar is going to be tossing it around. But the Phil thing sort of stopped everything, right? Like, out of nowhere, 50 years old. I don't know. All things are possible, Dennis Colatsos. You got to believe. You got to believe.
Well, you know, the nice thing is, as you read about Phil Mickelson, is that his passion and love for the sport is still there. The guy, when he's at home, he's still grinding, playing 36 holes. So he's still honing his craft. I thought he looked great. I thought he looked physically better than he has in years. He was tanned. He was lean. And I just love his interaction with the crowd. He's a crowd favorite. And at 50 years old, the oldest man to win a major, man, what a phenomenal story. And I was able to get home in time to watch the final round. It was an epic final round. And man, just a great, great, great moment in history of sports.
Well, yeah. And I felt like it was pretty monumental in a way that, look at this year. Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl of 43, right? You start to say, I mean, look at how good I look at 52. I'll be 53 this year, you know? So there I'm starting to feel like, you know, maybe I'm doing the best work of my career, but I'm not an athlete, right? And I think it's a different gig when, you know, LeBron. I mean, look, Ovechkin got run out of the playoffs the other night. Looks like Santa Claus, right? He looks older than you and me both, right? So, and certainly he's had more vodka than both of us. But I'd say for what sport is and it being a young person's game, and that would be said for young women in tennis until they see Serena, right? Or it's a young man's game at golf, right? All these young bucks coming out of this Texas and that Stanford, and they're 23 and they can hit it 500. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, here we are. Here stands Tiger last year after everything that's going on in his world, personally, professionally, physically, all of that. I'm inspired by this, and I think Mick's going to shake his ass this year. I think Springsteen's coming back. All the old guys are coming back, Dennis. There's room for us, man.
Well, we're all making a comeback, and you're right. It was great to watch Phil beat the men half his age and rub it in, and he had to overcome adversity, Nestor. He lost two of his favorite clubs during the practice round, so he had a scramble. He didn't have his best tools heading into Sunday. So I thought that was also a big story that was a bit understated. And you know how it is when you have your equipment, no different than you are at your studio, but even more critical for him as he's battling.
I hope it's better than me in my studio. I mean, seriously.
You know, he has a lot at stake, the money, the crowd, the pressure, the wind that was just tormenting all the players, 25-mile-an-hour crosswind. So all those factors that he had to overcome. He had a 366-yard drive on his 16th hole, the longest drive of the tournament. So Lefty was able to muster up enough energy and really, really make the biggest shots when it counted. But he's an inspiration to all of us. And such a likable guy, right? He was a runner-up at many tournaments, right? And it's nice to see him win his sixth major at 50 years of age, Nestor. And I don't think he's done yet. We got to keep rooting for him.
I know you and I would never, ever admit that we were ever a runner-up at anything, right?
Never. Always
winners. The graciousness that, especially in golf, in that sport specifically, where in tennis you can throw your racket sometimes if you're John McEnroe. I don't even know where the rules are in baseball or basketball. In hockey, they all gather and shake hands, right? Which we think one of the great traditions in sport that makes us like it. But when you've blown tournaments like Greg Norman style or Phil Mickelson style, and it becomes a little bit of not your identity, but you're you finish second, you know, a lot. And that happens anytime. Peyton Manning finished second to Tom Brady a lot, right? I mean, really, you know, I went into this with Flacco last week about winning and how hard it is to win and how hard it is to win the second time, and the Aaron Rodgers and the Ben Roethlisberger. There's still plenty of guys trying to do that, right? Cal Ripken, you know, spent his life trying to do it. To actually do it, there's thinking about it, dreaming it, and then really doing it at 50, right? Or at 43 as a quarterback, unheard of things. Our parents would, my dad would say, that's not possible. It's not possible to physically do that at 50 or physically do that at 43 to beat people half your age.
Yeah, well, you know, if you still love the chase, right, and that's what gets us up in the morning, whether you're trying to win a Super Bowl or a tournament or run a hyper-successful radio station or a car dealership, right? It's what gets us up in the morning. It's the chase. And I think the big thing here with Tom Brady, the big lesson for us, Nestor, is Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson is if you keep yourself in tip-top physical shape, right, it affects everything you do. Look at yourself now. You're standing up during your show, right? So you're taking yourself to the next level. I remember O.J. Simpson for some good things. O.J. Simpson always said that he prided himself on being the best conditioned athlete on the field. And I think no matter what your discipline is, if you're the best conditioned athlete at your discipline, it gives you such an advantage, psychological, physical, physiological. You know, I think it all ties in regardless of age. So maybe Phil can't do what he used to do at half his age, but now there are things that he can do better, right? The mental game. And to your point, we were certainly all worried about him at the 17th and 18th hole with the crowds approaching him and him interacting. I was screaming at the TV set, Bill, focus. Don't lose it now. I mean, you're right there. You got to fish.
I'm thinking, right, yeah, and he's got such a lead. And I'm like, but you know how this goes. One goes astray. There's water involved. There was all sorts of stuff. And I'm like,
17th hole, you're like, holy cow, you know, you got an island green there.
But here's this. People are really pulling for him in a way that you can't for the New York Rangers or the Baltimore Orioles or a team as a guy, as a generation. And I thought, who hates Phil Mickelson? You know what I mean? I thought somebody, Tiger Woods. but I thought, you know, who would be rooting against him? And it felt like this weird afternoon after all we've been through pandemic wise, everybody's rooting for the guy, you know, to not mess up or not even go down that hole to even make it interesting, make it triumphant, not hanging on.
Yeah. And you know, and golf is such a sport associated with the wine and cheese crowd. I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but to watch the fans, you know, maybe they were in a drunken stupor surround him. I mean, I felt, you know, I was worried about his safety, but it was reminiscent of Jimmy Connors. Remember Jimmy Connors towards the end of his career when he
had that night at the U.S. Open,
playing to the crowd, and I'm like, man, where has this thing been all along, right? And sports like that need, you know, even baseball, right? They need that
moment.
Interaction. Yeah, from just get the fans engaged, right? Versus sitting back and being passive and clapping once in a while, but just having that fan involvement. So I thought that was so special. But I did flash back to salty Jimmy Connors that softened up towards the end of his career and really became a crowd favorite, right? The villain had already become the crowd favorite. But in contrast, Phil was never a villain, right? Phil was the lovable goof who always, you know, blew the lead at the very end.
Well, different kind of lovable goof than a John Daly or some other people like that. But, you know, Phil Mickelson wins a major. We're off to a good vibe here. You know, my wife and I are talking about some OBX next week and some salt life down there. And you're out fishing. I got to tell you, this crab cake thing has taken on its own jam, right? Not just because I finally set the equipment up in Catonsville. It was 100 degrees. I started to sweat. Jeff Mohler was trying to mess up my broadcast. All these things were going on. We wound up having like a perfect day in Catonsville. That's your side of town, right? We talked about business coming together, parking, outdoor music, selling bookie salads and making late night pizza and all these awesome stories about how communities come together. We're doing stuff. These are the kinds of stories I want to tell, but I'm going to be a little selfish on this thing. You know this about me, Dennis. Now I want to do things I've never done. And every weekend you're going out right now and the fish I think these fish aren't real. I mean, you're taking pictures. I think you're down Ocean City standing in a booth somewhere holding the thing up with the – like right now, you're not really in Detroit. It just looks like you are.
But I have video. I have real video, though, of me catching these fish, so it's true.
So I want to give a plug right now to a dear friend of mine. Now, I grew up – I got my new David Knoll's got this pad under my feet that keeps my ankles good, so I don't have to see Dr. Steve.
You're bouncing and I'm feeling now. Good. Oh,
it's my yoga thing. So I grew up with a kid named Sam Tudor, and I know he listens to the show because he writes to me, right? So Sam's not a kid anymore. He's grown up like you and me. And Sam grew up 5 blocks away. His little brothers, his dad, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, the whole deal, on my brother's block, literally. And he's in my life through Facebook, right? So he hears that I want to go fishing. So it tells me he's been listening to you and me because I talk a little fishing with you. I think maybe I talked some fishing with somebody else last week, maybe on the show. So I said, I hear you want to do some fishing. And I'm like, okay, you know what? So he has his own little YouTube channel and he makes videos, right? And he catches fish. He just loves fishing, right? And he's got a little Guy Fieri in him about cooking fish. But his offer to me was – and see if I can pull it up on Facebook because if I can, I'll share it out with you. Because he sent me a picture of what he wants me to do. And I swear to you, Dennis, I've talked fishing with you, right? We have talked about we've talked about going fly fishing out in he did send me the picture. Let me pull this up here. I'm gonna show you this picture. This is my pal, my lifer pal. We went to elementary school together. This is Sam Tudor here in the blue. Do you know what kind of fish that is?
You know what? Unfortunately, I cannot see it on the screen for some reason.
Oh, okay. So. That's a snake fish.
Oh,
right?
Snakehead. Oh.
Snakehead. Snakeheads. Okay.
I've been dying to catch one. It's supposed to be the best tasting fish you will ever have, and everybody I've talked to swears by it. They're fun to catch. And are fun to eat. So this is right up my alley here.
Well, this is becoming educational for me, Dan, right? So the part of the tour is where they came from.
Yep.
They're almost like Loch Ness Monster, right? Nobody knows where they came from. They're eating all kinds of stuff. They're bad. For one point, they were like paying you to catch them, right? So here's the deal.
You had to kill them. They were paying you to kill them, not even throw them back.
Oh, right. You got to kill them if you catch them. Eat them.
Correct.
So I've never eaten them. Thought about them. They didn't exist here when I fished 30 years ago. My Aunt Claire used to take me out up in Newark on the pond. So Sam hits me with this concept. Okay. So listen, I'm not a fisherman. Okay. And I know people, you are, and I've never urinated upon it thinking I'm not a fisherman. The last time I fished, and this is honest to God truth, I fished with Dan Rodericks at Pretty Boy. And it was before I was married. So we're going back into the 90s. We had a standing thing, me, him, and Mike Flanagan, to go fishing and never did, okay? So there, Lefty Cray used to invite me when I was a kid to fly fish, and I turned him down. I turned down a chance to shoot free throws with Michael Jordan of fishing, right? So, like, I've done a lot of stupid stuff. Bill Burton, the bridge in Cambridge, you and I have talked about this. I have fishing reports that I wrote in the newspaper, my byline on it, that Bill Burton iced me all up to talk to Buddy Harrison down at Point Lookout. And like, I remember all this stuff, right? I'm not on any notes, but I haven't fished in this century. The last time, I went deep sea fishing in Cairns in Australia in 1998. And I don't know if that was before or after I went fishing with Rodericks at Pretty Boy. I might have gone out to Pretty Boy. It was definitely before I was married, so it had to have been before 03. So it's been a long time. So what's happening now is my dear friend Lachelle Scarlato, who's the executive director of the Ocean City Tourism People, right?
Oh, very nice.
She is having me be her guest that first week of August, the base out of Ocean City. And the Marlin Open begins that week. My dear friend Brian Eater, who owns the Chaucer, where you're going to come have a crab cake. We're going to enjoy the view on the second floor, east side, in Highland. They call it Upper Canton. It's Highland Town. All right. It's on Highland Avenue.
What does it, if it's 21224, it's Highland Town. Okay, I don't care what you call it.
That's Highland and Foster. It's 3 blocks off of Highland. It's 3 blocks from where Jaeger's Music and Hausner's was. Okay.
But give me the zip code. I'll give you the
3 blocks from Hausner's. You're in friggin' Highland Town.
You're in Highland Town.
That's period.
Okay? Wear the hat and wear it proudly too.
Very proudly. So his boat finished in second last year. He got the big prize and all that stuff. So he wants to take me on his boat, right, that week. I've got Chris Field. I'm bugging Jimmy Schwartz to get on a crab boat with me and Tillman and crab with me in the morning. So there's going to be mornings where I'm going to crab already. All right.
Nice.
Marlin open already. I'm bugging Rodericks. If anybody sees Rodericks, tell him I'm looking for him to do this Savage River thing I want to do the last week of August. Okay. I found out the Angels are in Baltimore that week, and I have a thing with Joe Madden with a crab cake, maybe. So there's things, there's all sorts of moving parts to this thing. But now this snakehead comes in.
Yep.
And I'm thinking to myself, I probably should build that in. I mean, right? I mean, like, if I'm doing a true Bourdain, if Anthony Bourdain was here for a day, would he want to go try to find snakeheads and tell the story about what a-hole put him in the water here? You know what I mean? And how crazy it is that they're here. Dude, I think this is I'm coming with stories. This crab cake thing's going to be the greatest thing I've ever done, Dennis.
Well, the snakehead story is fascinating. And a couple of things. First of all, I already like Sam. Any friend of yours is a friend of mine. And the fact he grew up in our area, makes him near and dear to my heart already. Second thing is, I haven't made the time to go snakehead fishing, and I'm very fascinated by this.
What is it? Is it different? What do you know about it?
Well, it's
you
invasive.
Have to go to special places, right? Like Magothy River or like the rivers down there.
No, they're everywhere nowadays. They're in the Potomac. They're in the Magothy. They're in the Severn. They're in the Chesapeake Bay tributaries. It's a very invasive species. It's in ponds. It's in reservoirs. In multiple.
If you catch them, they want you to eat them, right? They want you to get it out of the water.
They want you to eat them, but, and also you should want to eat them. Now, they haven't been as bad as advertised. 5, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, people were saying they're going to eat everything in sight. They're going to eat the bass and the perch. And that really hasn't happened, right? So the species has grown. It's become a favorite of the bass fishermen, but you can pretty much use the same bait, the same lures to catch a snakehead as you catch a bass. I know they're in that Blackwater Refuge that's south of us, and they taste really, really good. In fact, in Washington, D.C., restaurants serve them. They're on the menu, and they are very much a delicacy, Nestor. It's very, very, very good meat. Better than any codfish you've ever eaten.
See, this is great. This is awesome. See, this is like I told Don I was going to turn this into a social studies thing with sports,
man,
right? Because we can talk about the Ravens, and we will, and whatever. But, like, I'm interested in this all of a sudden as I get older. Not that I'm going to love fishing or maybe it's going to be my thing. Look, I don't love the NBA, but I went with the kid that saved my wife's life and made sure that he went to 6 NBA games that week because it's his thing, right? And I went and I really realized, like, I'm glad I don't have a gig at ESPN having to watch this every night because I just don't love it. I don't love it like that. Like, I want to do it. Would I go to a game? Sure. You know, I mean, no problem. But, like, loving it and dabbling in it. And, I'm not a dabbler, right? I mean, like, I'm a guy that likes to master things, right? That's the Tony Robbins part of me, that if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right. And there's reasons I don't attempt to do stuff because, like, I don't grab tools around here because my wife's better at it. And I'm like, you know, you do it, you're better at it, as opposed to me being half-assed at it and doing it once every year or 2 years. I'd rather get professionals. But when it comes to, like, fishing and stuff, I see so many people doing it. I'm so much more interested in the act of being with someone like you for a couple of hours in that environment than hitting a golf ball. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody said, well, when you're 50, you played baseball, you played hockey. I mean, I did all those kinds. I played a lot of tennis when I was a kid and thought I'd be more tennis oriented at this point. Maybe I would be. My knees are okay. I'm relatively fit. But I feel like fishing might be something that if I do it 6 times in August, I'm going to learn whether I like it or not and whether I really want to go to Montana and fly fish, which I might. And it might become like some crazy passion for me. Like I might – everybody says golf becomes, you become obsessed with it. You know, you're becoming obsessed with fishing, aren't you? And you had a golf thing for a while. You've had things you become obsessed with, right?
I did, Destra, but growing up in Essex, we didn't play much golf back in the day, right? Demographically speaking, socioeconomically speaking, it was better. Look, I didn't even know what golf was, but I can take a pole to Back River and drop a worm on a hook and catch
catfish.
Maybe catfish or a striper or a perch. So that's the great thing about fishing is anybody can do it. And as I've gotten older now, I enjoy it a lot more. I don't even have to catch fish. I like being out on the water. Over the weekend, I saw some osprey. I saw some turtles. I saw some bald eagles. So it's just not about being out. Plus the company, the camaraderie. I happen to fish with Ken Penrod, who's a world-famous bass fisherman. Here's a man who's fished with presidents, right? Has five sons. I learned he's got seven granddaughters. They all fish with him. And you learn all kind of great things about people, and it bonds you, and it's nothing like it. And you happen to catch a few fish along the way. And it's just the experience of being outdoors and not knocking golf because, as you mentioned, I've played it for a long time. I made a lot of great friends in playing golf. But as I've gotten older, look, catching a fish to me is a lot easier in the body than chasing a ball and twisting her and chasing it in 100-degree weather, right? So it's all in what you are looking to do. But fishing is a lifelong passion for me ever since I was a kid. And I enjoy it now more than ever. I really do.
Well, I want to go do some things I haven't done. And the fly fishing thing, I think I told you, when I was out in Montana, I saw people doing it. And I'm like, one of my best friends in the world growing up, a real mentor to me. I think I've mentioned Mike Marlowe to you. Mike's back here now and doing well. And Mike's a real fisherman. And I've only gone fishing with him once. It was in Montana and it was cold. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like ideal. You know where we fished? We fished with waders on in the river underneath where the Untouchables was filmed.
Gotcha. Wow.
Under this bridge. He took me there. Wow. And so we did that. I don't have pictures of it because you didn't carry a camera in 1995.
And Montana is beautiful. It's a place I really want to visit. I love to visit the state of Montana. I've never been there.
It's insane. And I'm thinking that would be the thing that would get me out into the woods more than like out like hike. My wife did hiking up in New Hampshire. She's got bug bites all over from the – and I'm like, Nestor doesn't do bugs. So like if there's bugs out on the river you're on, we're going to have a problem then. So, let me know. I mean, because I don't like bugs.
And also, your buddy Sam probably ice fished someplace on Dundee Creek back when we were kids, because that was the thing back then. You would ice fish for yellow perch. You would dig a hole in the ice and sit there and jig and catch yellow perch all day long. And you would take them home and eat them. That was a lot of fun back then, too.
My neighbor, Mr. Frank Bulk, who was a policeman, has long since left us. He was a prime mover in my education. He went to Essex Community College and was very, thought that I should go to college, and grew up across the street from me on Bank Street. He was a big fisherman and a golfer, but big fisherman, and he always fished at Dundee Creek. He always said, I'm taking out to Dundee Creek. We're going to fish. And so every time I see it on the map, I'm like, that's not Essex. That's Dundee Creek. That's where that is.
By the power plant, the water was always warm. You can fish it year round. One of the best kept secrets in Maryland. Really, really, really is.
Dennis Colazzo's here. He's over at Coons Ford. He'll sell you a car or catch you a perch. I mean, either way, it's football. I want to get a little football in here, and I want to Luke and I went after the Leones guys today. I went after the Caps, and on their way out the door, and Barry Trotz, and the fact that they've lost me as a supporter when they lied to me about bringing the cup and didn't bring the cup, and then they fired Trotz, and here we are. I'm not holding my nose and laughing at them, but I am looking at the 3 years in you and I and the enthusiasm we had. We have pictures together there with the goofball from the Marlins, right? remember that?
I do.
Marlin man, right?
Remember Marlin man. Yep.
Yeah, we took pictures with him. I would say this for, where the Caps are. Boy, it's been a rough 3 years. After you win the cup, that's bad for the brand, what's going on there. It hasn't been good.
Well, Ted has two franchises that haven't done well lately in the Caps and the Wizards, right? Russell Westbrook has been a phenomenal story for the Wiz. That's kind of kept them a bit relevant, all of his triple-doubles. But aside from that, there's been nothing to talk about with the Wiz, and even less so with the Capitals. As you mentioned, the passion was there 3 years ago, and it has certainly waned since they waved the Stanley Cup above their shoulders on that night.
Well, I don't know what to say when you get ousted in the first round. It really kills any sort of momentum you'd have, especially when nobody really believed they were going to win the cup anyway. But once you're in the tournament, you have events, Like certainly feel like they have the stock to do that. They have players that could have caught on fire and didn't, and now they're out of the tournament again. And it sort of makes you appreciate how special 18 was, really. Yeah. I mean, to do that, it's not easy to do. It's the hardest thing in sports to do to win a Stanley Cup.
Well, I also think it's bad karma, bad business when you change the recipe, right? You change the head coach, you change the dynamic, and maybe you didn't value him as much, or maybe you gave the assistant head coach or some of the other coaches more credit than he should. But I do feel like a champion deserve the chance to defend that belt. And I'll go back to Trent Dilfer.
I knew you were going there.
I got a flashback.
Ryan Billick's ears are burning right now.
It's a curse of Dilfer, and I get it. He took a shot to make the team better. But there's something in my DNA that says, you know what, when you get to be the king of the hill, you deserve the chance to defend that hill. Somebody should push you off of it. No one should just remove you after you've earned that title. And it's in my DNA, and that's the worst thing in sports when a champion doesn't get a chance to defend that belt. He should leave it. Whether win or lose, he should be bloodied, you know. And like John Harbaugh says, the man in the arena, what it took to get there, he understands it, values it, appreciates it, and needs and deserves that chance for somebody else to push him off versus just have it ripped away from him.
I'm going to give you a hard time. That was Teddy Roosevelt.
Harbaugh copied it from Teddy, right? We all copy stuff from everybody. And I'm sure Roosevelt got it from somebody else. But probably from Julius Caesar, since they're talking about arenas and dust and blood. But to me, again, just my point is, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and you can't have that.
You got that from Ric Flair. I know.
Right. So that's the curse of that. So they changed the recipe. The Capitals did, you know, going back to hockey, and Barry Trotz deserved a chance to defend that championship. But I know it was mutual. There was some acrimony in that relationship between him and Leonsis. I get that. But look, we work with people we're not crazy about with all the time. I'd rather have a coach I dislike but I respect than the coach I like, but just can't get the job done, right? As an owner, as a person, and who has that type of authority, right?
But you'd never hire Bill Belichick because he cheats, right?
I don't hire cheaters. No, I want to win the right way. I'd rather lose the wrong way than win the right. I'd rather lose the right way than win the wrong way.
Nobody's banging on trash cans over there calling pitches at Coons Ford.
No. Tell the truth. Be honest. Do it honorable. Take the high road and give it your best shot.
Dennis Colatzos is here. All right, football, OTAs, minis, you pay attention to this in a...
Somewhat, you know, what I look at is our players are in shape. That you know, do they show up? Are they in shape? You know, are they all in? I think those are the kind of clues as a fan, as an analyst, that I look at as somebody who's passionate about sports. Phil Mickelson showed up in phenomenal shape, right? You can see some definition. He's tanned. You know he's all in. He's going to give himself.
He envisioned winning that thing 3 years ago and said, I can do this. I will do this. No one will stop me. And boom, he went out and did it.
And you would hope that some of these young players and older players, veterans, have that same attitude. They get themselves in the best shape of their life. They're lifting weights. They're watching what they're putting in their bodies. They're just absorbing that game film. And that's what I want to see. I want to see these rookies come in great shape, pass the eyeball test, because, you know, we've seen players in the past can't pass the physical. They looked more rotund than they should. And said to me, if this is your discipline, you should give yourself the best chance of succeeding and coming into the league the right way, you know, setting the tone, not having any hamstring injuries or thigh injuries or whatever, soft tissue injuries coming into camp. I think all those things speak volumes. And I really do like this rookie class. It was nice to see them. They were showing them some things from the past, and they couldn't identify them, like VHS tapes and stuff like that. So, you know, you get to see their personalities on social media. And I wonder
if Hollywood Brown knows that the other number five, like, won a championship here.
Wow. What a story that is in and of itself, right? Hollywood Brown stepping up and taking Joe Flacco's number, which, you know, we haven't seen that happen with Ed Reed or Ray Lewis or Jonathan Ogden's number thus far. And we'll see how that goes. But that's a big story.
Joe Flacco, the most maligned character in the history of Baltimore. Like, literally, like, I'm going to be the guy who dies on the Joe Flacco Hill because I saw the parade. I was there for it. I saw it all happen. I'm not going to discount it. It is amazing to me how Joe gets treated like a bag of groceries, right? Like, not even the Wise Market groceries, like one of those off brands, you know?
Very, very true, Nestor. And if I can write one script for the NFL this season, it would be this. The Philadelphia Eagles with Joe Flacco at quarterback.
Do something.
Versus the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl. Oh, that would be the most delicious story for me. And I'm not wishing an injury on Jalen Hurts, but if something happens to Jalen or Flacco beats him out and something happens and they catch fire, that would be the biggest story in Baltimore sports history, Flacco against Lamar in the Super Bowl. That would be, if I could have one wish, sports wish this year, that would be it.
It's funny that, like, any person who considers themselves a Raven fan, that I would say to them, do you know why I like Joe Flacco? And they wouldn't say, Yeah, because he won a Super Bowl. Same reason I love him. You know what I mean? Like that should be the answer. Like, you know, universally. But it's not, and that's okay. And he's in Philadelphia, and boo on him. But I did have a great time last week talking to Artica Cassini, who's a wonderful University of Delaware magazine editor who's writing a big story on Joe, and Joe's participating in all. And she wanted some memories, so I've been telling some Joe stories. And time will not dim the glory of his deeds, Dennis Colatzis. What's going on out of Coons, man? We got Memorial Day. We got any cars in? You're still paying too much for cars. What's happening, man?
We're still paying way too much for cars, but at least we have cars to sell. There are shortages right now in almost every industry. So
they sell golf carts up in Mannheim. What are they doing?
Man, they're selling whatever moves. But ATVs are hot right now. Anything with wheels is worth a lot more than what you paid for it years ago, Nestor. It's just supply and demand. It's insane. But we have more than enough to take care of our volume of business, and we'll be stocked with well over 200 new vehicles and 200 used vehicles. The new ones are starting to trickle in now, but they're coming. Help is on the way. But it's going to be a tremendous Memorial Day weekend for business. And we always take care of our customers. We do a lot of repeat and referral business. But there is a high demand and a short supply, just like the housing industry. It's not a falsehood that's out there. It's reality. And it's a reality we have to deal with. And Nestor, there's also a shortage of crab meat right now, I'm being told by some of my friends and that own the local restaurants. So
that is correct.
Some have run out, which is just another sign of the time.
Well, we don't have people picking crabs on the Eastern Shore the way we should. It's a seasonal business. They bring in people from Venezuela and from that are professionals at doing this, in the same way that Shohei Ohtani is, you know, here being a professional of what he does. So we're going to be learning about that, you know, along the way, while we catch and eat snakehead and learn how good they taste. I haven't had a snakehead yet.
There's no shortage of snakeheads. So although there might be a shortage of crab meat, snakeheads are plentiful, which is good news. So
I got it. You ready? Ready? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a snake in a cake.
Snake in the cake. Oh, I like that.
You like that? All right.
I love that. That's a great catchphrase.
Came up with that on my own. There you go.
Love it.
I got a million. We got tables for the 10 o'clock show on Friday night.
Can they get the snake and cake special versus the filet mignon de surf and turf?
I was going to say, I'm playing the record this weekend for stand-up. But by the way, I went to the record this week, and music's back. I saw my first live music thing. I went to a Rush tribute show the other night. So big shout out to Paul Manning and Brian Recker out there. So, you know, Merriweather's online now. I'm getting Gene Parker on the show. We're talking music. We're talking sports. We're talking fishing. We're talking crab cakes. We both got shots. We're there. We're back, as they would say. We're back.
# snake and cake.
Snakey cake. There
that'll
it is. All right.
National, that'll trend nationally at some point.
The hashtag is Crab Cake Tour, just so you know. And I happen to own crabcaketour.com and clubcrabcake.com too. So we'll talk about that on the side.
You better own snake and cake too. I like the way that sounds.
Snake and cake. Ah.
I like
delicacy, huh? All right.
Making cake, baby. Yeah.
Put some butter and garlic on there, slather it up, salt and pepper, crack it up. It'll be beautiful.
It's supposed to be delicious. The most delicious fish you've ever tasted. And I can't wait to taste mine.
Anybody see Sam Tudor, tell him I'm looking out for him. Tell him he's got his YouTube channel. I gave him an extra view the other day. All right. We are WNST.net. Dennis Colatzis can be heard on Thursday afternoons and Sunday mornings, and probably at various points this weekend as we change formats for the Dennis Colatzis show this week. You can find me anytime, anywhere at WNST AM 1570 and BaltimorePositive.com.